matarme.
Whatever it takes, because at a certain point, if you're not really like taking care of yourself, your skin texture can feel all weird. Like I definitely have like frown lines. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, these frown lines are not my friggin' friend, you know? So it's like you just definitely have to like recognize that like stress, the lives that we're living mm-hmm. are full of stress. So, and it wears on your body. Like your body is certainly keeping the score.
Absolutely. Like that's what you said about the energy. Like, you know, stressful energy, mal de ojo, all of that is real shit. Like that is completely, you have to be cleansing yourself, cleaning yourself, fresh flowers, perfume, all the time cleaning yourself.
And that brings us into our conversation, our first one. Mm-hmm. These, you know, when we talk about white people and white supremacy.
Well, Chad, you're bringing me back. I'm feeling the lines come back.
No, and my jaws just started hurting. Mm-hmm. My jaws just started hurting.
No vibrational plates here. Right? Like low vibrational plates you serving right now.
unseasoned low vibrational plates.
Complaining because we're just three upset black women complaining about life and everything that means to us, etc., etc. We're actually speaking not only from experience but from proven history and a legacy that has been you know, confirmed through data and facts that people like to state. So it's not something that we're just making up. Mm-hmm. Right. And on top of that, this is something that is has been structurally implemented and weaved into something called policies. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, something called culture. Right. And I know culture is manifested differently. And culture, there's subcultures as well, and cultures that stem from other cultures, et cetera, et cetera. And while we understand that Latinidad is not a culture or a race, like people try to, you know, fake it and believe it is and convince others it is, you know, it has been assigned to so many people. And whiteness is a real thing within Latinidad. Right? And white supremacy is alive and well within this group of people called people from Latin America and the Caribbean as well. And every single thing, the pathology that lies within everything associated with whiteness is also something that is alive and well within Latinidad. And abuse is one of them, and abuse against children and youth and women and every single other group within humanity, within, and Black, you know, when I speak abuse, I'm speaking towards Black people specifically in this case.
I would say that Latinidad is whiteness. I mean, it's been modeled, you know, with whiteness at the helm and the pinnacle and the it's the framework, right? And this girl, Nuri, whatever her name is, and her little friends, because she was saying these comments in a room of other anti-Black, non-Black Latinos.
People managing public monies and making decisions over human lives. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's essential to this conversation, that it's not just, oh, I don't like Black people. These people are tasked with allocating resources.
And objectivity. And objectivity. And so when you, and I think that it's, the challenging part is that this person will land on their feet, right? Somebody is happy right now that they were exposed, because now that lets them know they're probably gonna land in a higher paying position, working for someone that is going to be happy that they are openly.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Expressing themselves. But in the meantime, as a public servant, right? Like the number, the data that people are sharing now, for example, like in LA, right? Black people make 8% of the population, but over 30% of the unhoused. And so when we ask ourselves how this happened, it also happens when people default to, oh, it's people of color, suggesting that all the crayons play nicely in the box, when we know that that is not true. And so it requires everyone to be in reflection of what we thought certain things meant, because words mean things, right? And I feel like often there's this space of sanitizing things at the expense of Black people. So even when people say things like, oh, it's anti-Blackness, like somehow in the hierarchy of wrongdoing, anti-Blackness somehow feels more decent than racism. It feels more decent or more doable than being anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And that is also part of the problem, that when we don't feel the same hatred toward anti-Blackness as we feel toward any other type of discrimination, then that's a problem.
You know, she apologized.
Of course.
What?
Right.
What did she say?
You know, that that she understands that her words are really hurtful, and for that she takes responsibility. Right. Okay. But you know, the thing is, she also, I'm not going to go into what she spoke about, right? But she also mentioned taking a child into an alley and basically disciplining him the way that the child needed to be.
Right.
And we know that these things happen in the school system.
Right.
We know that these things happen in the police force. And we know, we have confirmed cases that these things are okay and sanctioned, and they're like, did I use that word properly? No.
Yeah. Sanctioned and normalized, absolutely. Yeah.
Correct, right?
Like, there is this trite apology that everybody seems to use the same template, mm-hmm, of like, I'm taking responsibility for your, what does that mean exactly? When you take responsibility for an action, right? What exactly does that mean? Is acknowledgement the same thing as taking responsibility? Which I would argue that no, because bitch, you was found out. You would not have been taking responsibility on shit if the audio would not have been leaked, right? So this idea of taking responsibility, and I really resent the idea of, and I mean, I know I'm being petty here, so rock with me, right? And if you're listening to this podcast and you are in agreement or deeply disagree, write us, right? But you know when somebody, like, I almost feel annoyed when people get to just resign because they also remove themselves. No, I want you to stay there. No, yep, bitch, yep. We don't accept your resignation. And I want you to have to go to the rest of your fucking colleagues, people that you have smiled in their face, and have them look at you. Because I think that I'm not a fan of shaming, but I'm not going to finish that off, but like, there has to be a level of like, you deserve a little heat for the possibility of what it is that you did as a person. Because this is not just some random council person, right? Who may be like, oh, I was defending the people of my district. You were the head person in the council.
Yes.
So you have access to funds, to opportunity, to publicity, right? To amplifying messaging. And so your personal politic deeply impacts the well-being of Los Angelinos.
Lives and livelihoods and futures. Exactly. And quality of life. I agree with you. Like, nah, you don't get to flee. You don't get to run away. Hell no, bitch. Come.
I wanna see what's gonna, you know, this is like a she as everyone said, she'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be fine.
And the problem is that there are going to be people who are going to defend her, right? And I think that
absolutely, when we think
about like anti-Blackness, that's part of the problem, right? The chronic adultification of Black children and this kind of expectation. And if we're really also clear, is that in that leaked video, it seems as if part of her annoyance was that that Black child was with a white person, right? That Black child had a white parent, and she goes, oh, that white man with that Black child, which clearly already like triggered her some sort of way. Mm-hmm. And so that they were treating the kid as if they were a white kid. And also, I think that this gives the rest of us some idea of the fact that raising free children is also something that people often associate with whiteness.
Absolutely. And what that means exactly.
Right.
And what that means. The standards of freedom and who it's associated with and who they're for.
Right.
Right. At the expense of who as well. So my child can be free, but your child has to behave this way for my child to be free.
Right. So, and that lack of equity in terms of, because I'm almost sure that if that child would have been white with a white person, she would not have felt compelled to suggest that white child needed a beating.
I see it all the time. Yeah. We see that shit all the time.
Elevating to abuse Black children, these Latinos. Foaming
at the mouth. So part of the work that Rayo Caña Negra, yes, we have this amazing podcast. And we have several workshops that we offer online, but we also do services. So one of the services that we offer is working with educators and higher education, as well as elementary and middle school and high schools to work on racial equity and transformative practices, right, within the school system or within their school, sorry. And we've done several of these workshops. And we do it in English and we can do it in Spanish, right? So when we work with native Spanish speakers, right? And I say that as like people that prefer that to be their most powerful language. We have some tensions that we don't always face when we have it in English as a main language. And this is because a lot of the people have migrated from Latin America directly and not, you know, been raised here primarily. And in that group specifically, the tension has been that we have identified is that they have not had relationships in a deep way with Black people.
But we can also name that these are also the same people that often have a really hard time navigating Latinx, Latine, right? So it's like there is also a consistent fight against equity.
Yes.
In name of tradition.
Correct.
Right? So, and it's been harm in a defense, definitely a consistent defense of harm in to defend tradition.
Yes, but also not only defense of harm, but also how they relate to us in relation to, because they're coming, you know, if that is true, which I agree with what you just said, Evelyn, I agree that to be true, right? But mm-hmm. if we're trying out hypothesis, right? If that is true, then they understand a power dynamic in regards to relationship, and a facilitator in regards to that power dynamic is like a facilitator. But their relationship to us as Black women in regards to that power dynamic is shit.
I would say that the power dynamic is tradition, right? That
correct.
Three Black women should not be speaking to them in that
exactly.
Because we're subordinated.
So their relationship to Black women supersedes the power dynamic. Mm-hmm. That it should in a professional environment. Mm-hmm. Because in a professional environment, a facilitator reigns supreme. You're like licenciada, da 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 da. But for us, as soon as they saw us, their social relationship to us superseded any professional relationship that they could see us in with them, even though we probably have way more education than they do, sorry to say, if we're counting the power dynamics, right?
And the thing is that even if we didn't have, you know, more formal education, right, the reality is that as long as I am presented and present myself as an expert, there is a dynamic. If you are refusing to experience me as an expert due to your own perception of what an expert is supposed to look like, then there's very little that I can do to convince you that that is, that that belongs otherwise. Because like, my thing is, I don't have to prove shit to nobody. Like, if I'm in front of the room and I am the person that has been presented as the speaker, the facilitator, the moderator, the...
It doesn't matter what my experience is.
It doesn't matter if I dropped out of seventh grade. This is my role. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that when they find value in something, they will certainly do it, right? For instance, these athletes that go to play for these places that are highly racist, and it's all good if you're scoring goals. It's all good if you're hitting runs. But as long as you make an error, they will turn on you, call you all kinds of monkeys, you know, completely disrespect you. So that means that your standing is only as good as what you provide as a Black person.
It's the service, and you're standing in service to them.
Right. Always. So if it's like, oh, I can be entertained, my team can win, all these other things, then that's okay. But if all of a sudden it becomes a thing where I am the professional, I am in charge. And this leads me to think about how often, and I think this is unique also to Black people, is that in order to prove your professionalism, and I say this in air quotes, you also are required to prove some level of objectivity in almost every professional, every work environment. Because I will say that also not all work, right? Like in almost any work environment, you have to prove that you have some level of objectivity as a Black person. I would say that Black people are uniquely the only group that has to do that. Because when you see a white person that isn't a C-suite, for instance, and they hire everyone else, every corner office is held by a white person, no one bats an eyelash. But if it's a Black person that goes into like the C-suite, they almost always have to prove some level of objectivity by making sure that the team is diverse, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And that people that are like Latina people don't even have to do that. Because I've certainly seen them fill up the C-suite with either people that look like them or white people, and happily exclude Black people and act as if that is normal, or like, oh, así se hace, right? Like that's such a common thing. Así se dice. Well, that's how we say, like, you know, just why are you getting upset? We see it all the time. And so now that there's this kind of performance around including, like, you know, Afro whatever, insert name of country, or you know, indigeneity, they somehow feel like that's enough. Like it's like, oh, there's 27 people for Latinx History Month, and we got one Black person, now we're diverse. Even if out of those 27, 20 of them are straight up white people that if their name wasn't Martinez or Ramirez, you would not have any idea that they have any type of ethnic background.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, y'all are indiscernible from Anglos. What's the difference here? Like, because you have the Hispanic last name?
Right.
Okay, good for you, baby. And this is what we always say, that usually will make them a bit more interesting or cool. Or they always say spicy, which I hate. But I'm like, you look, oftentimes looking whiter than the Anglo counterparts, actually.
And wanting to prove access to whiteness more than the Anglo counterpart. Like there's a space there where for, like how many y'all been to places where it's the Latina person that is the tokenized person that has really not even been tokenized, Because I think that to be tokenized, clearly somebody has to do it to you. But in this case, they walking into the tokenry. Like, they're like, tokenize me. Raise my hand. I'm here.
Tokenería.
Yes.
Tokenería.
It's like, when people go into Price is Right and they be like, pick me.
I've seen that.
They pick me token. Yes. Pick me token is. Pick me token.
Wanting to go into that. And then they'll start acting like they don't, like they never heard a word in Spanish.
It's usually one with really pitch back straight hair.
Right.
That looks really sweaty sometimes.
Oh my God. I had to do so much work today because I had to, you know, my curls, and it'd be like one half wave. It looked like a C. Like, it'll be like,
and they're usually, this is the archetype. Black hair, and they're light beige skin, right? They're light beige. They're not dark. They're light beige. You can tell that they're not white. They're light beige. But they always hang out with all blondes.
Yes.
And every time.
And they start mispronouncing shit on principle. Like, that gives them more access to whiteness. So it'll be like,
Ramirez. Oh my God.
Right.
Right. They call themselves Ramirez.
Right. Maria, and you're like, Maria? Maria Ramirez.
You know, as we were saying, with these are people in power who have been put there off their campaign of being or cosplaying as people of color, right? And they're like, the first Latina, and this is why Latina, being Latina, don't mean shit for me. I'm like, because the people that you're talking about, your anti-Black statements, you're talking about me. You're not talking about people that look like you. And so I'm reading this headline and it says the LA Times is calling for all these people, Nuri Martinez, Kevin DeLeon, Gil Cedillo, to resign. And so they want the labor chief, Ron Herrera, to resign too. I'm like, he's the labor chief.
So where are reparations to everybody, like all those like people? Like, now I was just interested to know, like, all the flawed policies that exist against Black women, against Black men, against previously incarcerated people, against youth, like against trans folks, like so many.
And I think
transportation.
For accountability, I think that they should also be able to go back and see every vote that this person ever took and be able to place them in a box of like whether it was the most objective, the most neutral, the like, or if it was very evident that the vote was in line with their racist ideology. Because I think that's
important. But we know that's not going to happen.
That's the taking responsibility that we want to fucking
sure. See. Yes, and we could have. I what resigned. We could have is a fiction book with different things that should happen, and what the outcome would be, based on a zip code or two zip codes, right? Versus what the outcome will be based on another zip code. But we're not gonna have that. But what we do have, right, is. I was coming back to the conversation that we were having about the children, the school systems, right? In that workshop that we did, we had what we know as a pilar, right? A pilar is a Karen, right? Is the Latina Karens of the world. And In that workshop, it came out because we had an English session and a Spanish session. In the Spanish session, Pilar was, you know, the typical white Latina, which is the white woman, complaining, disrupting, not taking accountability, gaslighting us, basically abusing us. What was there as well was that the leadership was there. So we also saw things that, you know, go in accordance to why we were having issues. As well, in the English session, what we also saw was, interestingly, the Black people in the school identifying that Pilar was basically preferential treatment to the white students over the black students. And when it was taken to, you know, to the leadership, then Pilar took took that person and made an accusation against them. But that's how children are seen in a lot of systems by people like Nudi, by the Pilars of the world, by white teachers in general. And it's not only here, it's also in Latin America, it's also in Europe, it's also in Asia, right?
And also how the Pilar or the white mestiza engages with her black coworkers.
Correct.
That was a huge thing as well, how they are relating, how these Latinas are relating to their black coworkers, the people that the other black people around them. And we were just reading this in Tanya's book, Racial Innocence.
Yeah.
She has case after case after case, you know, because her thing is law and policy. And I think she does a great job of laying it plain and making the cases really comprehensive. Labor case after labor case.
Actually, California just had the largest labor discrimination case, and it was the black people suing the white Latinos,
mm-hmm. the white and the mestizo.
Yes,
like making that clear too. It's not only the white Latinos. We're talking about mestizos, and also other groups of non-black Latinas that will block access, and people are like, oh wow. I'm like, oh wow, what? We've been telling you this for centuries. Like, I'm sick of y'all.
Exactly. This also, I'm so sick of motherfuckers acting like shit is new. Like this, you know, as you said, Dash, there's another day that ends in Y. This is not a surprise. I just think that it's like, okay, a day ends in Y, people white Latinas are gonna be anti-black. Okay, I know that as sure as I know that I'm gonna blink if I'm alive. Like, it's like, that's how
that's their defensive
it is. I think that what's happening now is, how long are we gonna stay in discovery?
Hello.
Like this, I'm personally exhausted by this. This play that we all have, like, it's like, wow, they're anti-black. And then it's like, they expect everybody else to be like, oh, for real? I'm like, okay, and what else is new? Like you build community on a platform of anti-blackness.
Hello.
Right? You build community on this platform, and then you expect, again, you ain't mad. You just mad you got found out. And maybe there's a part of you that actually feels a little bit more liberated, because now you can go really find, not only will, because at least you don't have to play the game no more. You know, like now the most fucked up people are going to find you because they're happy that you're as fucked up as they are.
Yeah.
What's going to be really interesting to me is to see where this person lands next.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is going to be very telling about whatever agency, organization, everything else that and their own ideology and belief. Right? Like I want to know what's next for you, sis. Cause you probably already got a couple jobs. You probably got a couple offers.
Trump already called her.
Right.
Congratulating her.
Take back that, sis Ev. Take it back.
Listen, I take it back.
Because what did you say in the group chat that Latinos, Latines, Latinx will always point the white supremacist finger outward, but never even see the three pointing back at them because they refuse to reflect.
And that's what makes it so exhausting, because I personally am exhausted by the performance that I also have to make of like surprise and expecting objectivity from folk, when I know that, like, when I interact, like, you know how, for example, like currently in the United States, I think I speak for a lot of Black people, maybe not all of you, but when you see someone with like a US flag outside of their home or something along those lines, I immediately think Trump supporter.
KKK.
Right, like I don't even pass go. I'm like, this is not a safe place for me. It's not a safe place for people that I care for. Is and you're whack, right?
Corny as hell.
Corny as fuck. Like that's automatically where my brain defaults to. Like, oh, you're racist.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the similarity that I feel when I engage like white Latinas.
Absolutely. I would say white mestizo Latinas.
Yeah.
I just keep saying non-Black Latinas, like, because that's the truth. Like, we have stories upon stories of indigenous Latin Americans and their anti-Blackness as well. So, like, I'm now sticking to non-Black Latinas when we're talking about this, because it's all of y'all that are anti-Black as hell.
And the thing is that, like, what are y'all going to do about it? Like, you know that anti-Blackness is part and parcel. It's in the air. Mm-hmm. Right? It is in the air. Like, what are you going to do to rid? I mean, my thing is either do the work to rid yourself or expose yourself so we know not to fuck with you. So mm-hmm. You ain't out here breaking hearts and ruining lives.
But were we ever fucking with them, Ev? Like, let's be honest. Like, this is the space for us, right? I do not engage with non-Black Latina people. I just don't. And it's because I don't want to deal with the shit. I don't want some wayward comment about my hair or my nails or my skin or my butt or something. I do not want to engage with non-Black Latinas. And that's the truth. And that has been how it has been for decades at this point. And so, you know, for me, it's kind of just, it's not even confirmation. It's boring at this point. I'm like, your default is anti-Blackness. You're racist. Like, and if you're, because this whole thing like, oh, well, you know, who's less racist or who is less anti-Black? And it's like, all of y'all are anti-Black. This is, when we're talking about tradition, the tradition is anti-Black, period. And folks are ascribing and fighting tooth and nail to preserve what? Es broma, right? It's a joke. It's not a big deal. And they're having real problems because the people who are the butt of the joke are telling them that this shit is not funny. And they're having real issues about
that. Hoping that those people also have the capacity, have the skill to be able to also say es broma or I don't find that funny. Mm-hmm. Because it's only, oh wow, until somebody has the courage to be able to say I didn't like that. Certainly I know for myself that I have not always felt confident to let someone know that's uncomfortable for me. And so I have laughed off racist jokes or in as a way to like fit in and prove that I could let things skate off my back to my own personal detriment and my own and continuous blows to my personal integrity.
Mm.
So also recognizing that there are lots of people, like if you have, like, think about it. There was a time where, like, if you got a good government job in air quotes and your leader might be like this person that is the labor leader and they come in making some fucking joke, what you gonna do? Mm-hmm. You might have kids, you might have a parent, you might have yourself, you might've just bought a house or not, or you wanna just fucking live and not be living on Skid Row. So you gotta overlook harm on a regular basis while other people get to just be harmful with impunity and thoughtlessness and also that they're going to be defended.
Right.
Because who do you go to when someone harms you? Mm. If the person that is harming you is the person that is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that, and to me, that's like an economic issue. Like I can name that, like I've certainly had a situation like that where even if you file something like a legal, you know, if you move with legalities toward a person, like that takes time. And, you know, you may not be employed. And if you are, think about like those people that are fucking whistleblowers going to work.
Mm. Hostile environments.
Hostile. To the point that you cause yourself all type of stress, strain.
Sickness.
Mental illness.
My energy. Like all that energy on you, osogo, like full on your head.
So you, and then you if you don't want to work there, you gotta have at least a little bit stashed,
right?
Because you gotta ride this legal process out now. Oh, and the legal process could come back and be like, "Fuck you, bitch." Because if the law is fucked up and against you, then really, quite frankly, like the laws don't really work for you. It's right. It's gonna be as cool as this stupid ass Joe Biden federal policy weed thing that nobody qualifies for. So it's like, yeah, go ahead, tell you are safe. But am I really? Because now I'm fucking unemployable. Mm-hmm. And I don't got no money. So really, who, like, so the feeling of feeling trapped in a world that is anti-Black is, I think it's a dominant emotion. And I think that when people get access to have any type of, I'ma pay you back, it's ancestral. It's not just for me, it's for like layers of people that I know that trying to get their lick back.
You named what I've been feeling for a long time, being trapped in anti-Blackness, like,
and like it's a movie.
Right.
Like a movie.
Like not get even out. Get out. You can't get out.
Especially- I feel like, yeah, some days I feel like, you know, like, you know,
I literally can't breathe some days.
Huh?
You know, like I literally can't breathe. Like when you think about, because it's not just like, it's like, you know, I was talking to y'all, you know, I was sharing earlier in the group chat about how exhausted I feel like when people, when we're expected to have so much pride over like the first Black person too. And it's starting to feel like so much weight to me. Because when you think about the fact that in 2022, we still have firsts, and it'll be like regular, degular firsts. It ain't even gonna be like some sort of like rand, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
first Black supervisor at Staples.
Yes. Like first, like, and I'm just thinking to myself like, shit, it's been thousands of years that niggas been working.
The deep exclusion. That's what I think of, the deep, profound commitment to exclusion. Like, y'all are champions.
Constant. And so when we see this in these, and the worst part is that, you know, speaking to the experience that we had with Bilal during that workshop, I think what's really frustrating is that when certain environments invite you in to share your perspective, you're also thinking, maybe hoping that, oh, okay, this is the one that maybe is ready. And so to be hit with that type of lack of interest in learning in an educational institution for children, like, no, that just takes it over. Like, this idea that she did not want to make white children feel bad.
First thing she thought of.
Like, so you don't want to make white children feel bad, so you're just going to completely not share a whole segment. And the thing is that it happens all the time. Like,
of course.
Like, remember that I was pissed when I found out that the Native Americans and the Pilgrims weren't really friends. I was like, these motherfuckers have lied my whole life. Why did they do this? And it just feels like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, I'm justified in some way in my mind. Like, all right, my teachers didn't know better. But now that everything is everywhere, like, educators have no excuse not to really modify their curriculum. And that's why I contend that there are certain roles that people should not be doing the same thing for like 32 years.
Listen, I saw a little Pilgrim outfit, okay?
Today?
No.
Oh, I was about to be like, for Halloween?
I saw it recently. I can't remember where, but I was deeply disturbed. I was like, they're still selling these things? Oh, I think online. I saw it online. Like, I was looking for a costume for Anayansi, and I saw a Pilgrim outfit, and I was like,
I mean, the reality is that here's the thing. Somebody's ancestors legit were Pilgrims, right? Not mine. My black child will not be wearing no fucking pilgrim outfit. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's, and the thing is that I'm not even like, you're like, oh my God, you want me to feel shame about my ancestry? No, I want you to take responsibility by also making sure that if you have millions or billions or trillions that were built on the back of black people, get rid of that shit.